Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't twist.
Man, you know, I love that piece from the movie with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, Few Good Men, where Tom Cruise says, I want the truth. And Jack Nicholson says, you can't handle the truth. I love that piece. Anyway, everybody, thank you so much for joining me this evening. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's Tuesday. It's September 19th, 2017. Thank you, everybody, for joining me this evening. It's the Ron Kelly Show on Blog Talk Radio, and it's the ronkellyshow.com. All right, great to have you guys here. We're going to talk a little bit about race today in America and let me start with this. You know, race is something that nobody wants to talk about. You know, we have a lot of well-meaning black white folks out there who, and some people are just not in touch with racism because they don't practice it. And then there's a lot of well-meaning white people out there who, I wouldn't say that they're racism deniers, but they just are not in touch with what's going on because they don't perpetrate racism. And, you know, I appreciate that. I know a lot of white people myself, and this isn't about white people, this is about racism, but I know a lot of folks who really don't practice racism and who are, you know, who are well-meaning, good people. You know, but we do have a problem in this country, and exacerbated by President Trump and his campaign, where he cozied up to folks who are antithetical to other people, and that's how we got elected. Those the underground of folks who think just like he does, and they are steadfastly behind him in everything that he does up to this point. Anyways, glad to have you guys here. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. This is RonKellyShow.com. You can follow me on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Radio. And on Facebook, it's The Ron Kelly Show, as many of you know already. All right, great to have you here. So we have the situation in St. Louis right now where the people are just fed up and they're just really like going in St. Louis after this officer was acquitted in the fatal shooting of the black driver, Anthony Lamar Smith. It has happened 6 years ago. That's how long that this has been in the courts, for 6 years. And the protesters in St. Louis had blocked the highways and they threw rocks at the mayor's office after white former police officer Jason Stockley was acquitted in the 2011 shooting death of black motorist Anthony Lamar Smith. Now, after the verdict, protesters and activists gathered outside the courthouse and marched through the city downtown for hours. Now, you know, I've always been one who was not so, I haven't been an advocate of marching, you know, but in some cases, marching is necessary. And I have to backpedal and say that. Some held hands and prayed while others chanted, "No justice, no peace." And so that was nice. And so the protests rage on down in the city of St. Louis after this police officer, Jason Stockley, was acquitted in the 2011 shooting death of Anthony Lamar Smith. And I have a clip of this police officer, Jason Stockley, where he gave an interview to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And let me just play a little piece of what his explanation was in regards to the shooting and whether he's guilty. Let me just play this piece here. Take a listen to this.
I did not murder Anthony Lamar Smith. I did not plant a gun. As I testified at trial, and to homicide on the day of, it was an imminent threat to my life. I had to. It's the taking of a life is the most significant thing that one can do, and it's not something that is done lightly, and it's not something that should ever be celebrated, and it's just a horrible experience altogether. But sometimes it's necessary. This was a completely reactionary event. If he takes off on car, we follow. He turns left, we turn left. And unfortunately, you're reacting in those few seconds, and you have to make decisions based on limited information and limited time. And they're the most important decision you ever make, because it could be your last. And it's...
Okay, let me stop the tape right there, because there's like no compassion whatsoever in Officer Stockley's explanation. Doesn't seem to be any sympathy for the family of this brother who was killed by Officer Stockley, or former Officer Stockley. And, you know, and it's another example of what happens, what has been happening when police encounter black people. Now, nobody else is getting killed. No other folks are being killed. No other ethnic group is being murdered as much as black people are in this country when you encounter the police. Now, regardless of whether the person ran or whatever the case may be, you know, eluding the police is not a death sentence. Well, let's make that abundantly clear. Eluding the police is not a death sentence. No matter what you do, the police officers are trained to handle the situation, and they're trained to arrest a person and bring them to justice, not to apply justice themselves. And see, this is what's been happening with some of these police-involved shootings, where black people are being killed at an alarming rate. Now, you know, and you have to take a look at this. And see, in order for us to really take a good, hard look at race and why there's so much of a race problem in America, not necessarily the Trump campaign, which was highly intensive in regards to race, but you have to chase race back all the way to slavery. You know, and I've been one who I really didn't want to talk much about slavery because it happened 400 years ago. But there are some reasons, if you want to trace race back or racism back to its origin, racism's origins, you can trace back to slavery. And, you know, because, you know, what happened in regards to slavery, the demeaning way that black folks were treated back in the day, where we were placed on a soapbox and people bid on us, where we were not considered a whole person. And even in the Constitution of the United States of America, black people were not considered a whole person. They were considered 3/5 of a person. Now, can you imagine that? A human being being considered 3/5 of a person, like a cow or a chicken, a goat, a horse. And this is what black people were considered back in the day during the time of slavery, which was a racism was born with slavery. And my thing keeps falling here. That's when racism was born with slavery. Now, here's the problem. Now, you see, now we fast forward to 2017. And, you know, as I said, the Constitution was stated that black people were three-fifths of a white person, in other words. You know, and people don't like to talk about this, and, oh, you should forget about slavery, and people are telling us we should forget about slavery. And, no, we shouldn't forget about slavery, because slavery was a part of American history, and we shouldn't forget about it. But the problem now is that, you know, it's something that nobody wants to talk about. Everybody kind of, you know, when it comes to white people and black people speaking about racism, it's kind of like the uncle you keep in the closet when people come over. You're too embarrassed to bring the person out. He's going to ruin the party. And see, this is what happens with white people. White people are embarrassed to talk about slavery. White folks are embarrassed to talk about slavery. They don't want to talk about it. They want to kind of, you know, shove it under the rug because it was embarrassing, because it was a taking of an individual, of a person, of a human being, and enslaving them, indentured servitude, enslaving a person, you know, keeping them just like you kept a cow or a horse or a donkey or whatever the case may be. And this is how Black people were treated during racism, or during a real hardcore racism, which is slavery. You see, because racism only matters, you know, racism only you know, when people have, when people who perpetuate racism have power, that's when racism really rears its ugly head. This is what happens when somebody has power, when people have power to change their life, that's what happens, you know, when it comes to racism, when people have power to change your life. Now, so we go back to the 1700s where Black folks were considered 1/3 of a person, and the Constitution said so. And now we fast forward to 1964, to the, you know, well, first, we, let's talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, allegedly, by Abraham Lincoln, who wanted to free the slaves. This is what history tells us, that, Abraham Lincoln wanted to free the slaves. And, well, Abraham Lincoln was the arbiter, the person who brought upon the effort to free the slaves. You know, so when they freed the slaves really, you know, because the slaves were forbidden to learn anything, forbidden to learn how to read, write, or anything like that. So when they released, when they freed the slaves really didn't have any place to go. And many of the slaves just stayed on the plantations with their slave masters because they didn't have no place else to go. They couldn't read, they couldn't write, they didn't know how to take care of themselves because they'd been taken care of for so many years by the slave masters. So that's why, that's how the slaves, that's why for many years the slaves stayed on the plantations. They stayed on the plantations because they couldn't, because they could not read, they could not write, they were forbidden to learn anything, and they couldn't take care of themselves. So 1964 comes along, we have this, the Civil Rights Act, and where the Constitution was amended to include Black people to vote and to be recognized and et cetera, et cetera. But see, but you can't legislate morality. You can't cure racism with a congressional act. I mean, you can't do it. And so racism has never really been handled by, you know, by the government. You know, just having a congressional act, adjusting the Constitution did not do anything to alleviate racism. Racism is still very, very strong in America today. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. And we'll talk about, you know, we got a lot to cover here. We'll talk about race in America. We'll talk about some of the people who are perpetuating the nonsense that we've been hearing. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a Black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness does marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. About 17 past the hour of 6 p.m. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Check me out on Twitter. It's the R. Kelly Radio. And on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. On Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly One. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about race in America today, in light of the latest police shooting, Mr. Jason Stockley, police officer Jason Stockley, who listen to this interview. He was interviewed by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch regarding the killing of a black motorist, Anthony Lamar Smith. And, you know, there are folks, and there's some really cool folks out here on LinkedIn and such who support police officers. I support police officers myself. Now, I don't support the killing of unarmed motorists, but I do support police officers. Before we go further, I'd like to let you know that this portion of the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by Media Graphics. Go to MediaGraphics.net. For your smart posters, smart banners, and video and digital displays, all that you need for those trade shows and such, you can get them at MediaGraphics.net. Phone number is 973-777-2202, MediaGraphics.net. All right, everybody, we're back to the program. And we're talking about race in America today and all that's going on with Trump and the folks who... the alt-right and some of these other people that are perpetrating this nonsense about race. And, you know, there's a problem in this country, and it has been exacerbated by President Trump and his run for president, which he, you know, surprisingly enough to everybody, he did win. And, you know, because people... just don't, I for one was very surprised that President Trump or candidate Trump did become president, because I didn't think that people, you know, he did everything wrong and he still won. And it just lets you know, you know, it just goes to show like where this country is right now. And there are a lot of folks out there who agree with Trump, that who want the Muslim ban, who want the wall, who want tighter restrictions on people who come into this country. But that doesn't make them racist. Let me just say that. That doesn't make them racist. But there are people who are racist who jumped in with the president, and they because they agree with a lot of the things that he did, a lot of things that he said he would do, the folks agreed with it. You know, so we fast forward to the president has been president for 7 months, and we see, you know, how things are going right now in regards to race relations in this country, and it can't get any worse, especially with this shooting, this latest shooting of a police officer, a former police officer, Jason Stockley. Just a couple of hours ago, the lawyer for Anthony Lamar Smith's family says that the city officials withheld critical evidence that allowed them to settle a wrongful death civil rights suit for a lower sum. Now, the lawyer, the attorney Al Watkins, who is a lawyer for the family of Anthony Lamar Smith, says the city had and should have turned over key pieces of evidence, including a gun recovered from Smith's car that had DNA residue from only the officer, as well as video footage from witness. Now, there was no... I have to make a note of that there was no evidence on this gun other than the DNA residue from Officer Stockley. That was it. There was no DNA from Anthony Lamar Smith. And this gun allegedly was found in the car, which, you know, which speaks to that there's a strong possibility that the police officer did plant this evidence in the man's car. Now, in a letter to the Missouri Attorney General Monday, Mr. Watkins demanded that the city reveal exactly when it received DNA evidence from the allegedly planted gun and when it received the video evidence, and that it provide copies of DNA reports from the firearm that was allegedly retrieved from Anthony Lamar Smith's Buick. Now, if the city doesn't provide a full and accurate, transparent response, Mr. Watkins said he would proceed with all available legal and equitable remedies, which means there probably is going to be a lawsuit. So this isn't over, even though the family of Anthony Lamar Smith did settle a wrongful death suit for $900,000. Now, Mr. Watkins says this case is important to St. Louis's African-American community and giving closure to the family as well. He calls the verdict inexcusable and appalling, and so do I. So do I. Now, the deputy chief of staff for the Missouri Attorney General wrote an email, "Our office has initiated a complete review to fully investigate these allegations and possible misconduct during the Coaster administration." Now, Josh Hawley is the attorney general now. Chris Coaster was the attorney general then. And see, this case is so old that it actually started in 2011. The murder was committed in 2011, and here we are 2017, just getting a verdict. Now, the little trick that police officers pull, you know, and again, I like to say that I'm a supporter of police. I am a supporter of police. But one of the little tricks that they pull is that they ask for a bench trial, not a jury trial. Because when the jury trial, you know, the chances are, and he was probably advised by his attorney to forego his right to a jury trial and just take a bench trial, because you just have a judge who more than likely is going to find him not guilty, which is exactly what happened. Yeah. This is exactly what happened, that he waived his right to a jury trial and decided on a bench trial, where with a bench trial, the judge decides on his own, by himself, with no other input, whether the person is innocent or guilty. You know, and this judge decided that there was no... Judge Timothy Wilson said that the state failed to prove that Stockley did not act in self-defense. No. And so these things keep happening where, you know, you're taking the trial, and like, and I know most people, including myself, have like no faith at all in the justice system in regards to police officers actually paying for the crimes that they commit. I have no faith. No faith. And so for the last several days since the verdict came out last week, so the last several days, there has been violence, which I don't advocate. I don't advocate the violence. For the third night of violence, which was last night, there was 80 arrests. This is the third night of protests. Now, these protests are still angry. So folks are still upset over this, and rightfully so. And this is, you know, and the problem is that this just continues to happen. Black people encounter the police, get killed and nothing happens. And see, and this is what goes on. This is what's been happening over and over and over again. And it's, and these things do contribute to the racial climate of this country. When police officers kill unarmed suspects, and it doesn't matter what the how egregious it was. It doesn't matter how egregious it was. Black folk still cannot get a verdict of guilt when police officers kill innocent black people. Now, on Monday, which was last night, peaceful protesters, they all locked arms on Market Street, which is a few blocks from the site of the previous night's violence. Now, protesters were mostly silent. Dozens gathered at the St. Louis City Justice Center for a protest. She said, this is one of the things that's this contributes to the climate in this country when these things happen over and over and over and over again. And then you have Mr. Trump, who talked about bad people on both sides in Charlottesville. I mean, come on, give me a break. Trump, this is another thing that contributes to the racial climate in this country. Mr. Trump playing up to his base. So we just had Michael Brown, Officer Darren Wilson killed Michael Brown in Ferguson, which is very near Ferguson, Missouri. St. Louis is not that far away. Ferguson is a suburb. So St. Louis police are tweeting the status of what's going on. See, there's been a problem in St. Louis long before this situation. So Jason Stockley killed Smith, Anthony DeMar Smith, in December of 2011. Now, the Stockley and his partner, Brian Bianchi, they tried to stop Smith after witnessing his suspected drug transaction, according to a police department report that the St. Louis Post-Dispatch got a hold of. Now, Stockley said that Smith backed into the police SUV twice in an apparent attempt to harm him. And after Bianchi told Stockley that he believed Smith was armed, now he didn't see a weapon, he just said he believed Smith was armed, Stockley exited the SUV with his department-issue handgun. He also had a personal AK-47 pistol, which is a violation of police policy. An AK, so he's carrying an illegal weapon. He's carrying an AK-47 pistol as a police officer, which is a violation of department policy. So Smith sped away, knocking Stokely sideways, so it says, and Stokely fired at the vehicle before Bianchi and Stockley pursued Smith. It speeds up to 80 miles an hour. So the police crashed into Smith's Buick in an attempt to avoid hitting a truck. So before the crash, Stockley was heard saying he was going to kill this mother effer and told Bianchi to hit him right now. So this is part of the story that was told by these two police officers, one of which thankfully is not a police officer anymore. Now the judge, Timothy Wilson, said the prosecution's argument was not supported by the evidence. The gun was too large for Stockley to hide it from the cameras at the scene. So this is one of the things that's contributing to the political climate, to the racial climate in this country, where police officers routinely are getting off for killing unarmed black citizens, not unarmed Mexican citizens, unarmed white citizens, unarmed black citizens. And this is what's been contributing to the race in America. So it's that, it's the Trump, situation where he, you know, plays up to the alt-right and people like that who don't like Jews and don't like black people. He plays up to those folks. And see, and President Trump, in addition to the police shootings, President Trump has given these people new life, because it wasn't politically correct and it wasn't fashionable for folks to come out and talk about other folks. It wasn't fashionable to be racist. You know, it wasn't fashionable to be a separatist or a neo-Nazi or a skinhead or whatever the case may be. But the election of the campaign and the subsequent election of Donald Trump has given those people new life. And so we talk about race in America, the President Trump has given these people new life. And so this is what happens. So we have a problem. So there's a problem. There's a problem with race in America, simply because, you know, we continue to have these police shootings with no justice for the folks, for the families who, of the men and even sometimes women who are murdered by police officers. And then we have Donald Trump, who is perpetuating, who is encouraging these people to And she, you know, I'm just going over this little piece of information I have here. And the judge said that an urban heroin dealer not in possession of a firearm would be an anomaly. So an urban drug dealer, so you base your decision on the fact that, all right, you're saying that the gun was too big, but an urban drug dealer would be one of the tools of an urban drug dealer is possession of a firearm. An urban drug dealer, an urban heroin dealer not in possession of a firearm will be an anomaly. And they're saying that they did find a bag with narcotics inside Smith's car. You see, these are all of the things that, you know, this stuff doesn't you know, it's just disturbing when this keeps happening. It's just disturbing. So Stockley left the force in 2013, and then shortly thereafter,
John Liana is a Minnesota police officer who fatally shot Philando Castile during.
They settled the case with the family. So, police-involved shootings and controversy over use of deadly force against people of color, you know, has returned the spotlight to a new round of trials. Now, police officers on trial for the deaths of Philando Castile and Seville Smith were found not guilty. For the second time, now this was the case where the juries failed to reach a verdict. And former officer Ray Tensing's trial for the death of Samuel DuBose, leading the judge to declare another mistrial. So it's time and time and time again that black folks are, you know, in some of these ridiculous notions, like, for example, St. Anthony officer Geronimo Yanez, who did not lose his job. And who had pulled, and the records show that the law enforcement had pulled for Philando Castile, for example, they pulled him over 52 times. 52 times. That's crazy. And Officer Yanez says he thought the people in Philando Castile's vehicle resembled two robbery suspects. Why? Because they were black and one had a wide set nose. So a wide set nose now is a, you know, is an identifying factor. And, you know, and having a wide set nose makes you a suspect. See, there's no training, there's no bias training. See, you can't train people to, you know, you can't train people. You know, to be, you can't, you know, if somebody's a racist, they're racist, and you can't train them not to be a racist. And this is part of the problem. You can't train somebody not to be a racist. We'll take a break, and we'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
We'll be back with more of The Ron Kelly Show after this. Your bathroom break is over. Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right. Yes, indeed. This is Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Check me out on Facebook. It's Ron Kelly Show. And on Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio. And last but not least, on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly One. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. It's the Ron Kelly Show, Race in America. Why don't we talk honestly and openly about racism? Well, part of the problem is that white folks, I believe, are embarrassed about racism. And you can't get white people to talk about racism because it's embarrassment. You know, because white people feel some kind of way when you talk about racism. And some of them even get angry when you talk about racism and what happened and how black folks were kept like cattle and cows and chickens and horses and black folk. I mean, people. So an actual human being was kept as a pet almost, by white folks back in the day, you know, and we are so, and black people are so, joined at the hip with Democrats these days, you know, and a lot of times Democrats don't even have to do anything to get our vote. And I find that, you know, odd, because most people don't know the history of slavery and racism in this country, race in America. Lots of people don't know that, you know, that the that the Civil War was about race, because there were folks the abolitionists wanted to end slavery. The abolitionists wanted to end slavery. And there were folks, the folks who, you know, wanted to keep slavery. You see, but the Democratic Party wanted to maintain slavery. And the Republicans wanted to end it. You see, we have so many people today who have issues with the Republican Party, when it was actually the Republicans back in the day who wanted to end slavery. The Democrats wanted to keep it. And that's why they went to war, Civil War. They even threatened wanted to start their own country, because they wanted to maintain slavery. And a lot of people don't know that. So you have a lot of black folks, a lot of minorities who are joined at the hip with the Democratic Party, who don't even understand that the Democrats who wanted to maintain slavery. They want to maintain the status quo. And they even went to war to maintain it. Thank goodness they lost. But it was the Republicans who wanted to make, it was the Republicans who wanted to end slavery, not the Democrats. And a lot of people don't even know that it was the Democrats who fought and died to maintain slavery. So it's about 15 minutes before the hour. Everybody knows you're listening to it. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Today is September 19th, 2017. Got a lot going on in New York. President Trump says he will destroy North Korea if they go after any of us or any of our will destroy us he'll destroy North Korea if they come after any of our allies or us. Totally destroy. So the real deal, you know, so what we got going on in America right now is that what we have going on in America right now today is that, you know, we have these police shootings, which is really the stoking the flames of racism in this country, these police shootings. And then you have a history of slavery. And, you know, then there are some glass ceilings and some roadblocks and some hurdles and some things that are placed by people in power that are placed in our way, which makes it difficult for us to get anywhere. And these things are there. And like I said, there's some well-meaning white people, many whom I know who don't practice slavery, who are good, God-fearing people, who who don't practice slavery, and folks who don't want to talk about slavery because it's uncomfortable for them. You know, and the fact that we don't talk about slavery, that we don't talk about racism, is why racism is still so prevalent in America, because no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to acknowledge, like, okay, we have a problem, and we need to find ways to solve it. We need to find ways to solve it. So the conversation needs to be had. One of the exacerbating circumstances why we have so much problems with race in America, we need to have to start having the conversation. We don't have the conversation. We don't talk about race in this country. Like I said, it's like the embarrassing uncle who lives with you, but you can't get rid of him. So, you know, when folks come over for an event, you like to put him in a closet because you don't want him to get out. And racism is like the uncle that you want to keep in the closet and you don't want to talk about. And that is part of the problem. And again, you have these police shootings that the black lives are taken and police officers are routinely let off. You see, now it's not the same for black police officers. The black police officers are going to prison. Now, we had the case recently of a 6-year-old boy who was shot and killed by the police. And the police officers will go to prison. Those police officers who were involved in that shooting is found guilty. Now, these cops were convicted for 40 years. Now, this Derek Stafford, a Louisiana law enforcement officer, was convicted. This was earlier this year. Now, they found Derek Stafford, who was a black man, black police officer, guilty of manslaughter and attempted manslaughter. And he did catch a break because he did face charges of second-degree murder and attempted second-degree murder. Now, this police officer Stafford and another deputy city marshal opened fire on a car, killing Jeremy Martis, who was a white boy, a young white boy, and critically wounding his father after a 2-mile chase in Martsville, Louisiana, in 2015. Now, video from the police officer's body camera shows the father, Christopher Few, had his hands raised inside his vehicle while the two deputies collectively fired 18 shots. At least four of those bullets turned to Jeremy, who died within minutes. Now, the attorney general at the time, Louisiana, says he's happy with the verdict. Oh, really? Now, this is a similar situation. This is a similar situation where where there were shots fired into a car. Yeah. Now, the other officer is both who are black, fired into this car. Christopher Few and his son was in the back seat, and the officers didn't know the son was in the back seat. Now, one police officer's it's a sad situation. These two black officers, one was convicted already, the other one is going to be convicted. So this is what happened. These two black officers, one convicted, 33 years old, police officer, Derek Stafford, is going to prison, or is in prison, I should say, guilty of manslaughter and attempted manslaughter. So black officers go to jail. White officers go free. And see, and these are the things that are contributing to the problems in this country where justice is just us. It's not justice for all. It's justice for some. And see, these are some of the things that are contributing to the problems in America in regards to race, where people with money and lawyers, you know, get routinely, you know, who get off, who can afford private investigators and DNA people. You know how much a DNA test costs? Like $5,000 or $6,000. There are many black people and people of color who are languishing in prisons because they couldn't afford, probably some of whom are innocent, who couldn't afford private investigators and, you know, DNA, because they didn't have, they have an overworked public defender. They have an overworked public defender who has 150 cases besides yours. So how much attention do you think that an overworked public defender can apply to your case? So what happens is they don't try to get you off. They just try to get you the best deal. So it's not even about proving a person innocent anymore. It's just trying to get the best deal. And this is what's going on. Well, I did a show on the New Orleans and how the head of the head of the public defender's office decided not to take on any capital cases because they couldn't give the cases the attention that they deserve because they had so many other cases at a time. Hundreds of cases at a time they're working on. So they're just looking to make deals. You know, it's paperwork. Now it's not people's lives anymore. It's paperwork. That's what it is. So this is what's happening in America in regards to, and see, these are the things that bring, that make race an issue. You know, it's the criminal justice system, or lack thereof. Police officers shooting black, innocent black folks and not, and being acquitted by all white juries or white judges. The disparity in corporate America. We have a handful of black folks who are CEOs of, and we have hundreds and hundreds of companies where there's only a handful of black folks who are actually CEOs. You know, so there's a major disparity in this country in regards to opportunity, unless you can play basketball or football, or you can sing and dance. So, you know, unless you can entertain somebody, you know, you're highly unlikely to reach those financial goals. Because if you can't play football, you can't, if you're not a professional athlete, you know, you wind up, you know, toiling in obscurity and unless you become an attorney, and even in such cases, black attorneys, you know, are routinely held back from being partners in law firms because, you know, it's been a white thing. You know, part of the problem with race in this country is that people don't acknowledge it as a race problem in this country. Many folks just, oh, you know, it's okay. There's no race, you know. We've made improvements. We had the Civil Rights Act. We had the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, we had the Voting Rights Act. We have all these acts. Yeah, but these acts don't protect black folks from being killed by police. They don't protect folks from being killed. So it's something that needs to be done. We need to talk more about race in this country because there is a problem with race. It's not just a, you know, it's not something to be swept under the rug. And you have to contribute. And the reason why there's a problem with race in America is we have the contributing factors. Police officers getting off for killing black folks. The criminal justice system with black folks who routinely get football numbers because they can't afford, many of whom are innocent because they can't afford good lawyers. They wind up with a public defender who has 198 cases that they're working on at the same time they're working on yours. So once again, as I said earlier, they just try to make deals. Let's close this case. Let's you know, it's not about there's a life there that's going to be affected, family members, children, and such who are going to be affected by this conviction. Now let's just get rid of the case. So we'll approach. We have a lot of talk about. We just can't cover it in 1 hour. So we'll talk more about this in the coming weeks and months about race in America and some of the things that can be done, because nothing's being done, and these problems are still not being solved. Black folks are still not, don't have a place at the table. We still have. They still have, disparity. And things need to change. It's not going to change with bias training, because you can't untrain a racist. And let's just face it, there are some police officers who are just plain old out not racist. You take a guy from the suburbs and you toss him into the someplace where he's probably never been. You know, a lot of them are scared to death. They have the power of the badge behind them, and they're afraid. So we'll talk about this more at length, and in the coming weeks and months, right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter. It's R. Kelly Radio, and on Facebook, the Ron Kelly Show. Leave your comments, if you will, and also the. Instagram is Real R. Kelly One. All right, everybody. So we'll see you back here next Tuesday afternoon for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. Don't forget, 6 p.m. New time on Tuesday, 6 p.m. To 7 p.m. Right here, one of the most compelling talk radio programs on the radio today is the Ron Kelly Show. All right, everybody. So until then, everybody, and remember to just be safe out there.